the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
Greetings again and welcome everyone to the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. Again, for the 318th time, hosting a show with two very interesting guests. I am so excited to introduce you to Jonathan Searle. He is the executive chef down at Proof on Main, one of the city's finest restaurants and most unique as well. And also, I got to go out to the home of Ed Glasscock. And if you know anything about civics in Louisville, you know that name. He is the chairman emeritus of Frost Brown Todd Law Firm. And has his hands in a lot of things in this city. But I learned this week he is really involved in horses, along with his wife, Mary F. Glasscock. And I went over to their place and talked with them about the upcoming American Saddlebred World Championship Horse Show. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a great conversation that you can listen to. And maybe you decide to go out and see these saddlebred horses perform at Freedom Hall. Freedom Hall, believe it or not, is still going. And that starts on August 17th. So that's something to look forward to. As always, this show is sponsored by my friends at Passport Health Plan and my friends at Heiser Health. And also the Eye Care Institute. And I really appreciate all those sponsors. We're coming to you from the Remax Properties East Studio in off Timberwood Circle, where I am an agent with the Sokoler team at Remax Properties East. And anxious to talk to you if you are interested about real estate at any time. My number is 502-439-6391. Give me a call. I'll be happy to engage in a conversation, tell you all the ins and outs of home buying and home selling. We've got some news on that later in the show as well. So a lot to look forward to. But first up, I want to tell you that you know, I think one of the treasures of our city is the 21C Museum Hotel. And, you know, I just tell people all the time, just go in the lobby and walk around and look at the art. It's really something. And the restaurant there is top-notch as well. And Jonathan Searle has an interesting background. He grew up in a small town in Ohio, went to college at a small college in eastern Kentucky, dropped out, and got in the restaurant business. And he hasn't looked back. He helped start the Lockbox, which is the name of the 21C restaurant in Lexington, at the 21C Hotel in Lexington. And now he's moved in and just established himself as the executive chef at Proof on Main. He's a very interesting guy. Wore a Bernie hat. I love that for our interview. He's a big supporter of Bernie Sanders. We talked a little politics after the interview, but mainly the interview is about what's going on in 21C. And tonight, if you're listening on Thursday, tonight there's a big event down there involving some chefs that he's brought in to help a charity. And I think you'll hear all about that in the interview as well. So, but if you don't have plans for tonight on Thursday, it's a very special culinary event. There's going to be some of that Pappy Van Winkle bourbon on sale there. They're going to have some as part of the charity, and it's really going to be something. So, anyway, I really enjoyed my talk with Jonathan. And here it is.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at PassportHealthPlan.com/together.
Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show, I'm in one of the coolest rooms I've ever seen. Jonathan Searle.
Hey.
Congratulations. You're the new chef. You got a fancier title than that, right?
Executive chef.
Executive chef here at Proof on Main. This room is cool. I've got to ask you, what's the clock counting down?
Well, that, so our founder and original owner, Steve Wilson, that is the clock of his expected departure from our world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the timeline of his life, and it's counting down to when, statistically, he's expected to pass.
He's got 8 years left.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah. I don't think I'd want to see that.
I would never come in this room if that were.
This room is actually kind of dedicated to him and Lorelei Brown, his wife.
Right. There's a lot of cool stuff in here.
Old memorabilia, old things from their lives. Yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, this restaurant, of course, has a great reputation. It hadn't been around all that long. Tell me how you came to get the job.
So I came up here. By came up here, I mean I worked my way through the ranks back in around 2010, 2011. Worked from cook to sous to chef de cuisine, helping run and write the menus for this restaurant. That took me to Lexington with the opportunity to open Lockbox at 21C there and be the executive chef and run that restaurant. And this spring, I got a call that we were looking for a new executive chef here because the very talented Mike Vita was moving on to another opportunity. And it kind of piqued my interest, and I just couldn't pass up the opportunity to come back to alma mater, if you will, and take the reins as the executive chef and put my own chapter into place, this great restaurant.
Well, we all want to come back, I think, in a lot of cases. And that's especially true in Louisville. Tell me what your, you've only been in, you found out you got the job, what, 3 months ago?
Three and a half. So it was mid-late March when I made the decision.
Okay.
I think we all in Louisville know that there's a kind of a big event that comes around the corner every May. So
you got to be where you need to be before that happens.
Yeah, I took the job 2 weeks before.
Ouch.
I think April 16th I came on board. I had to get acquainted real fast with what was going on, and we just kind of touched up the menu, got everything in place, and just really hit the ground running in the most literal sense possible. And since then, we've kind of, after Derby is when we were able to kind of let the dust settle a little bit and start really focusing in on what the menus were going to become as we, like I said before, as we come into the next chapter of Proof
on
Main.
Right. Now, just for a handful of listeners maybe out there that haven't been in here, how would you describe this restaurant?
Eclectic. The space really has a personality. I mean, I know that's where we've been going with cuisine lately. Like, it should have a feel. It should have something it brings aside from just the food. But this restaurant truly just has quite the personality. Like, when you come in here, you recognize the walls are part of the art. You know, everything in here is on purpose, and it gives you something to do while you eat.
Sure,
you know, we're contemporary, we're refined. We would never call ourselves fine dining in any sense, but, you know, it can be an event to come here. It can be an experience both visually and through the food and service. I'd say we're unforgettable.
I would agree. And we could get this room right here in this private table.
Yeah.
If we wanted. Okay. Well, you're making some changes to the menu. You're introducing some new stuff. Tell me what that's going to look like.
So for me, cuisine and writing has so much to do with the ingredients, with the produce. You know, I definitely think I lean more on produce than proteins. It's always a great experience to meet new people, network, and source ingredients. But around here, the High River Valley, summertime, it's so much about the produce. So we're really bringing things in and letting the food kind of tell us what we should do with it to an extent. You know, there's this part of it where I feel like the chef kind of needs to get out of the way of the food, of the ingredient to an extent, instead of over-manipulating it with all the techniques and things we've learned through the years. Sometimes minimalism can be a better approach to really letting this beautiful stuff we've got going on showcase. So summer's really about, you know, I wouldn't call myself a Southern chef, but, you know, a lot of my roots are here and a lot of the technique is from here. And, you know, we just try to do some soulful food that really hits on a nostalgia point in a sense.
Well, just taking a step further, give me an example of a very popular dish in summer.
Right now, one of the most popular things I brought here would be chicken fried pork cheeks. And you know what? It's hilarious. We have been, I don't know if it's hilarious, but it surprised me. We can't keep them in. We can't prep them fast enough. It's so fun to take something so humble and unused, underutilized, like the humble pork cheek. Something that's tough, it's overused, it's part of that animal, obviously, you could imagine that gets used nonstop all day. So we have to really kind of coax the tenderness out of it. We braise it, we make it so it's something you actually want to eat, and then we dredge it just like you'd be making fried chicken, crisp it up. And toss it a little sweet chili sauce, and man, think of it like spicy pork nuggets.
it's like I'd never heard, I'd never heard cheeks on a menu before. At River House, I had grouper cheeks for the first time, and very cool.
Cool, I think it's doing fun. Like, there's some straightforward stuff, but it's fun doing things like that too, where you get a response from a lot of the people that come in, exactly like what you just said. Like, huh, I never thought that I would be eating a pig's cheek, but it's delicious.
Yeah, it sounds like it. All right, well, let's talk just for a second about your background. You grew up in a small town in Ohio, right?
I did.
And stumbled into Kentucky for school.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess becoming a chef saved you from being a preacher.
In a sense, yes, it did. I went to school after I got out of high school. I went to college in Eastern Kentucky, real small town, real small private school. Actually, and it was for preaching, right in Carter County, right outside of Ashland. It didn't end up being the right fit for me. And cooking had always been such a fundamental part of my background growing up. Like, my family was. They were, you know, my dad took me hunting. We were big into preserving and things like that. You know, the basement's full of canned jars from each year's different things, kind of just so that we could, you know, keep going.
Right.
And those things all kind of came full circle when I moved to Lexington. And I came to Lexington because that was the big city compared to out in Carter County.
Sure.
And that's when I started my cooking career. I thought that that's something I wanted to try. I just basically bothered a chef at one of the main restaurants in town until he finally gave me a job when someone quit on him, and I was just on to the races from there.
Yeah, well, there you go. And now you've discovered, I guess, city living is preferred over country living?
It's still up for debate. You know, there are times where I just love being in a bigger city, middle market city like this, because of the amenities and things to do, but, I mean, I'm also a pretty simple guy. Like, I want quiet. I want big trees. I want fresh air. I don't need all that where I lay my head at night.
Right, right. Well, it's all very interesting. Let's talk about this event coming up this week on Thursday night. You've got a special event. You're bringing in some of your chef buddies. And I don't know if it's too late to come, but tell me about the event.
It is not too late to come, and we're still hoping to get a few more people out. So we're doing a benefit dinner for No Kid Hungry. No Kid Hungry is a group that is committed to ending childhood hunger. To this point, they've fed over 1 billion meals to kids through advocacy, through events like this. We raise money, and then that goes back into local food programs in different cities. We're really honored. I'm honored to be the host chef for this event. This is the first time No Kid Hungry has branched into Kentucky. We've done major metropolitan areas. No Kid Hungry specifically, part of Share Your Strength, the larger end of the organization, connects with chefs and uses culinary to advocate and raise money. Because 1 in 5 kids in Kentucky struggles to get the food they need, particularly in the summertime when there's no school programs or anything.
Sure.
So this is and kids are the one group that, you know, they don't have a lot of defenders out there. So it's really important to me to kind of use my skill set, you know, my profession, what I've got to try to give back. Mm-hmm. So Thursday night, 5-course meal with some of the best chefs and my friends and some of the best chefs in the region. I've got Andrew McCabe from Bar, chef and owner of Bar Vetti, Wina Michael from Lexington, and a handful of other great chefs from Virginia and Cincinnati. We're going to have an amazing live auction after the meal is done. I know, sneak peek myself, I'm connecting with and partnering with Preston Van Winkle, and we're going to put on a 5-course meal, me and him in someone's home for up to 8 people. He's wow. bringing a bottle of 10-year, 12-year, 15-year, and 20, and we're going to pair this dinner course by course. He's going to curate, and at the end of the meal, the winner gets to keep all them bottles, what's left, and wow. for their personal. So
you can bid on that
you
event
can bid
in
on
your
that,
house.
That night.
Okay.
Yep, and that these are the ways that those...
That'd probably be $100 or something, at least, right?
At least. Oh, my gosh. We would both be so upset. But, you know, there's so much giving in that way. And, you know, each of these chefs is being so kind as to bring us something similar kind of event to the table. And every penny of these proceeds go back into programming to help kids.
Wow. So how much does all that cost to get in?
The meal to get in, the ticket price to get in is $150.
Okay.
That includes 5 courses plus snacks and cocktails, paired meal from, like I said, some of the best chefs in the region. And it's just a chance to feel good that, I mean, you're getting probably one of the top tier experiences you could get in Louisville from a cuisine standpoint. But also every penny of that goes back to an amazing cause
right.
That I hope is successful enough that we can make this a yearly event.
Wow. Wow. Well, that sounds like something special. If you happen to be listening to this on Thursday and decide you want to go tonight, just call the restaurant?
You can call the restaurant also at nokidhungry.com.
Okay.
There's an events area. Tickets we're getting very close to running out.
Okay.
It's Tuesday now, so we have 2 days. And yeah, there's going to be a few left, but nokidhungry.com and looking under events in Louisville.
Okay.
You can buy tickets there. That's the main way. And yeah, we're really wow. hoping to see a few more people, and we've got a great turnout already set. So yeah, we're very excited.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up and tell me a little bit more about the restaurant. I see a lot of people walking around here. It's noon. But you tell me about your hours. You don't do – it doesn't look like you do lunch.
Lunch is mostly taking place on the other side of the restaurant.
Okay.
We're hidden in the corner here. So we
in
have
the
some
special
peace,
room.
Peace and quiet yeah. to chat. We do breakfast. We do lunch. We do dinner. Lunch is 11 to 2. Dinner is 5:30 to 10. Downtown's awesome. There's all kinds of different things going on here for tourists and locals alike.
I've stopped in a lot of times just for a drink at the cool bar over there.
Yeah, we got an amazing bar program. Really talented people in charge of that. It makes it really special for me to have to try as hard as I can to keep up with his amazing bar program and all the whiskeys and curated things going on
sure.
there. A while.
Yeah. And just because I find it interesting, I'll ask you the other question about your wife. She's in the business too.
She is. I actually met my wife here at Proof on Main back
wow.
when I was a young chef de cuisine. She had been hired on, came straight from Nashville as a front of house manager, and it was almost love at first sight.
And then the
professional
and working
sense
in
had
the
to
restaurant.
Keep it, yeah, professional sense had to keep it not so much, but yeah, we. You know, we hit it off, and now she's out at Castle and Key. She's helping head up the food and beverage experience side of things at that really, really special place.
Yeah, I've been there. It's very cool. So very cool. That's a lot of great stuff going on, and I've got to get in here for a meal.
Yes,
get
you
some
do.
Of those pork cheeks.
Yes, you do.
That's the number one thing on the menu for me. But thanks for being on the show. It's been great.
I've had a great time chatting with you.
Hope you have a great crowd on Thursday.
I sure do as well.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
All right, that was a lot of fun down there with Jonathan Searle. I have to go back and get some of those pork cheeks. Pork cheeks. Not heard of that one before. But anyway, that's on the menu at Proof on Main. Jonathan and I, when we were talking about politics, a lot of it was about our we're both what I would say progressives. He may be further in than I am, but still, we talked about how much we opposed the current president and the governor of our state, who just got to talk about this for a minute. He picked a fight with the mayor, with Mayor Fisher, for some reason. As you know, Mitch McConnell fell or something at his house and had to have worked on his shoulder. He had some sort of injury to his shoulder, so he's basically staying at home doing some work. And you know, a lot of people, this is not the first time this happened, a lot of people know where Mitch lives there in the Highlands, and occasionally protesters come out and do their protest thing out in front of his house. And it's not an uncommon thing. You know, earlier this year he got accosted at restaurants when that was a popular thing to do. But Bevin saw the news coverage of it and went to Twitter as he does, without thinking, as he does, and basically criticized the mayor of Louisville for letting them protest, letting them be out there doing that in front of Mitch's house. I don't know that Bevin's, you know, that much in love with Mitch McConnell, but they are in the same party and support a lot of the same issues. But it was primarily a peaceful protest, except, unfortunately, the protesters could have made I guess the story could have come out better for the protesters had they not made some sort of awful threats about stabbing Mitch in the heart and all that. So anyway, there was a Twitter war over it, and a lot of people jumped in on that between Mayor Fisher, to his credit, basically said, you know, that's he supports the people protesting what Mitch is doing. They were actually protesting the fact that you know, the there were the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, and Mitch is standing in the way of any meaningful legislation about guns. So the protest was about that, and of course Bevin, of course, is a big gun guy, and Fisher stood up for the protesters. He's on their side. So it's very you know, it's very partisan, but a nice little mini controversy in our town, as that goes. I want to talk about some other things. You know, I'm always interested in the restaurant business around here. I got two pretty interesting stories. You remember the Bistro 1860 that was closed last year on the corner of Melwood and Brownsboro, near Story Avenue, and you know, it was painted that awful puke yellow, and so the new owners have painted it. It's a guy named Jason McCollum and his wife, and they operate Chicken and Me up the street, one of my favorite restaurants in town, and apparently that they're going to open soon with their restaurant called Hearth on Melwood. And it's described in the story I read as an American food with an international twist. And the quote from Jason in the story was that it's going to be weird and funky. So it might be a neat new addition to the restaurant scene. They're certainly successful up there at Chicken and Me, my absolute favorite spot. The other big news, my good friend Dan Borsch is opening Hillcrest Tavern right there on Frankfort Avenue. It's sort of between the Frankfort Avenue Beer Depot and his new Burger Girl restaurant. I talked to Dan about this. I saw him a couple weeks ago. They've got a 100-year-old mahogany bar that they put in, and it's going to be very similar to the old Louisville Tavern, which is down on, I think, 4th and Galbert. Good food. They have good food down there, a full menu, and it's going to be the same here at the Hillcrest Tavern is the name that they came up with. Dan's got a bunch of, he's noted, or he claims to be a collector of neon beer signs, so there'll be some of those in there, and it should be a neat thing, because and one of the quotes in the story I read that they're going to be open till 1 o'clock serving food 1 o'clock a.m. on weekends, which sort of helps to fill what was characterized as a food void. You know, after 10 o'clock, sometimes it's hard to find a place open to get something to eat. So now we got it, Hillcrest Tavern. Burger Girl, I think, has been open for about 6 months now, maybe less. And they started with limited hours, but I think they're open 24/7 now. If not, it's very close to it. So all you folks that need to eat late, two good suggestions for you. There you go. And so that's the restaurant news. I just finished reading an editorial in Insider Louisville from David Jones Jr., who's been a guest on this show. David's always been a supporter of local media. Talked to him many times about that. And he wrote a sort of goodbye piece because Insider Louisville, as you know, their last day was Wednesday. And I think the line in his he talked about he wrote all about the success they've had at Insider Louisville. You know, 200,000 people a month going to the site. It's you know, by all means, I used to say when I was a blogger, if I could just get the eyeballs, the money will follow. Well, you know, in media, that's just not true. It doesn't happen. Jones writes, but we also proved that Louisville won't pay for local civic news. And in this, we're no different from most American cities, where a collapse of local journalism has already left some 1,300 communities without local coverage of any sort. Nonprofit civic journalism has not been Louisville's answer. So basically, they tried a number of ways to make Insider Louisville work. I give them credit. You know, I could nitpick some things that I think they didn't do well, but mostly they gave it their best shot. They spent money on reporters. They went out and got real news, real journalism, and found out that it wasn't sustainable. That's the bottom line. And so as we say goodbye to Insider Louisville, sadly, we hope that some other folks, like, you know, we talked to Lisa Benson a couple weeks ago from Business First. Hope they take up the slack. Maybe they can increase some of their coverage. It's just not easy. It's not easy in journalism. I've been trying to do it since 2006, trying to make some money doing journalism. And you know, here's my pitch. You know, please support this show. We're doing a lot of local news and talking with people about important things here on the show. And, you know, I'd love to hear from someone who wants to support this program. We've got great sponsors, but you can always use more, right? So if you're interested in this topic, on August 14th, there's going to be the Louisville Forum downtown at Vincenzo's is going to take this topic up. David is on the panel for that event, and it should be thought provoking, I guess. Journalism has seen better days. There's a lot of stuff that just doesn't seem to get covered, and that's not good. As so many of us, so many people I know just don't pay attention at all to any media. And it's hard. It's hard. So one other story that came up you ought to be aware of is that they came up with a name for the Louisville City FC soccer stadium down in Butchertown. And it's surprising. I think it's going to lead to some confusion. It's going to be called the Lynn Family Stadium. Dr. Mark Lynn, who I've talked to before, is apparently donating some money to put his name on that stadium. But there's also a thing in town called the Dr. Mark and Cindy Lynn Stadium, which is also a soccer stadium on the U of L campus. And it was built several years ago and is, you know, I don't know that you can say Lynn Stadium and people might be confused as to which one you're talking about. But we'll see how that plays out in the world. But good for Dr. Lynn to support soccer in such a big, big way. That's a good thing for our city. That stadium is coming along. Every day I drive by there, it looks a little better, a little closer to being a real thing. All right. I want to tell you a little bit about real estate. You know, it is busy out there. There's a lot of buyers, and there's a lot of competition for the homes that are for sale. This is a crazy story. I was showing someone a home on last Saturday, and when the listing agent came in, saw us and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we just accepted a contract on this house." While I was sitting there. So that's the kind of thing that can happen in with a lot of demand. And if you go to LouisvilleKY.com, there's a story and a video by Bob Sokoler you can take a look at, and it talks about the percentage rates for mortgages are as low as they've been in two or three years, he says. That offsets the fact that there are that homes in Louisville are rising in value at not an unprecedented rate, but a really high rate. In the last year, homes have increased 4.39%, according to the statistics that Bob had. That means your home, if you have a home, it might be worth more than you think. It might be time to look at selling it. You might be able to get a little bit more money than you expect out of it. If you want to take a look and get an assessment, give me a call. I am a realtor. 502-439-6391. Can set you up and also help you in that competition to get these homes that are coming on the market, and a lot of them don't last very long. Now, in the higher price ranges, houses are staying on the market a little bit longer. But anyway, if you're looking, there's a lot of information out there, and certainly we can help you here at RE/MAX Properties East, the Sokoler team, with any question you might have. All right, so let's move on and talk about horses. I had no idea. I knew that Ed Glasscock was involved in Starlight Racing, and that the Starlight Racing was a group that was behind Justify. And a couple of years ago, I even had Jack Wolf, who is the head trainer, organizer for Starlight Racing. I had him on the show. He was a speaker at our Breakfast of Champions event. Great guy, very interesting individual. And also, a year or so ago, I had Ed's son, Clint, on the show to talk about the whole Justify experience, which was great. You'll hear Ed talk about it being the highlight of his career in horses. But Ed's got an interesting family dynamic, because his wife, Mary F., who's also in the interview, is as into the saddlebred side of the horse business as he is into the thoroughbred side. And the occasion for us to do this interview was the upcoming American Saddlebred World Championship Horse Show coming to Freedom Hall August 17th. And so you're going to learn a lot about that and a few other things. I thought it was a very interesting interview. I've kind of been aware of Ed for a long time, and I think it's the first time we really got a chance to sit down and talk. So I think you'll find the interview very interesting. I hope you do. And listen in. I'll be back when it's over. All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is in the beautiful home of Ed and Mary F. Glasscock, and we're talking about horses. And I'm going to start with you, Mary F. You have a big role in the upcoming American Saddlebred Show coming to town, right?
This is the most exciting horse show of the year. We all look forward to it. We plan our host schedules, all of the training of the horses. Everybody, even if they've been out in other countries, will plan their life around this week.
Wow.
And it's a very exciting time. We have people from many other countries, trainers from other countries. We have people from other breeds that are very interested in seeing how dynamic and wonderful these saddle horses are and the wonderful performances they put on. And this culminates with the winner being named a world champion, okay, which is a cherished title in the industry.
Yeah, and I was reading some of the history. I don't guess there's ever been a time where you haven't been involved in saddlebreds and showing, and you've got a special interest in some of the competitors this year.
Absolutely. We have a breeding operation beside our own performance horses, and have been very fortunate this year. We have a reigning national champion, special gentleman, that will be shown by our daughter Mary Jane, and will be trying to defend the title of junior three-gated horse.
Wow. And I understand she is only 14, 12 years old?
Our daughter?
Yeah.
No, she's in her 40s. She started riding as a child, was a 19 times world champion, a national champion, and was on the captain of the World Cup team.
So it's your granddaughters that
Our granddaughter was national champion last year in the road pony classes, which is interesting. They drive those ponies behind a buggy. And she and her sister have driven the road ponies. The youngest one is now riding. But I started as a child, and I was very fortunate because my grandfather had one of the first American saddlebreds, Bourbon Chief, who's buried on our family farm. And we've been very fortunate to be able to continue the breeding even until today.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's a very interesting story. Let me bring Ed in here. And Ed, a lot of people in town know you from your career as an attorney and from your involvement in a lot of different civic causes. And but you're a horse guy.
Yes, a thoroughbred guy. And Mary F. and Mary Jane handle the saddlebreds, and Clinton and I are heavily involved in the thoroughbred industry.
Okay,
yes,
and,
Rick, thank you.
And Clinton's been on the show before and talking about Justify. Just to say very quickly, that whole Triple Crown experience had to be a thrill of a lifetime, I guess.
It was a thrill of a lifetime. It was incredible for our entire family and our partners. We all went from the Churchill Downs win, the Kentucky Derby, on to the Preakness and to Saddlebred, to the Belmont for the Triple Crown. And then we were fortunate enough, of course, to win the Eclipse Award with Justify, and we all attended that. So it was a thrill of a lifetime, and I don't guess it'll ever happen again. We tried again this year with Improbable, but it didn't work out. But certainly Jack Wolf and has done a great job with the partnership as we've moved forward.
Well, certainly it's a numbers game. You're kind of a numbers guy. Switching back to the Saddlebred show that's coming up August 17th, it has a lot of importance in terms of economics in Louisville. Right?
It does. It's the economic impact of the horse show is around $8 million. And the show actually hosts 1,800 horses and 7,200, if you can imagine, exhibitors, owners, trainers, and support staff from 49 states and 6 countries. So it's very, very important to our community to kind of showcase it, like the Kentucky Derby showcases the thoroughbred industry.
Right. You were telling me that there are shows around. Like, I know a lot of people in our audience are familiar with the Shelbyville Horse Show, but that's sort of a Derby prep for this one. This is the granddaddy.
That's right, Rick. We have three kind of prep shows, or horse shows, if you will, and we start with Rock Creek, which is a wonderful show here in Louisville, and then we move to the Junior League Horse Show, which is at the Horse Park, a wonderful venue in Lexington, and come right back to the Shelbyville Horse Show, and certainly the Bennett's, Hoppy and RH and the whole team. They just do a wonderful job and draw a lot of people. We were out there Saturday night to watch that show, and that was when one of our homebreds, as they call it, won a two-year-old class that Mary F. referred to.
Okay. And all this, like, for the regular citizen out there, you know, it may seem sort of elitist, but anybody can go to this, right?
Anybody can go, and it doesn't cost much at all as far as the ticket to the show. And you'll have an average probably of 12,000 people at the evening shows. And we have fewer participants at the afternoon shows, but you have morning, afternoon, and evening. It goes all the way from the 17th through the 24th. In Freedom Hall during the State Fair.
Wow, Freedom Hall. It's hard. Sometimes you think, well, Freedom Hall, that's still there, isn't it? But yeah, it's still
there. And it's
in
good shape. It serves us well for the horse show. It does. It's a wonderful venue, plenty of barns, and Charlotte, who runs that show, handles it well. She's got a great management team working with her, so that's very, very critical. And it turns out extremely well. Everybody has a wonderful time. Wow. The governor usually comes down and presents the trophy for the World Grand Championship of the Fagate Estate.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Mary F. Ed's big thrill in thoroughbred racing was Justify. What's the biggest moment you've had?
Well, I would assume that obviously my daughter and a lot of her success, but we were certainly thrilled when Macadamia, who has been Horse of the Year, won the three-gated World Grand Championship with Steve Wheeler, one of the many trainers that we've had that have certainly been wonderful, and we could not do this without these great trainers and supportive friends.
Sure, sure. A lot of people get involved. Now, I know you've been involved in horses all your life, but this show at Freedom Hall in Louisville, how long have you been involved in that?
Ever since I was a child. It started, though, even in the fairgrounds when it used to be off of Taylor Boulevard, around Arena. That's where that I first participated, and it was such a thrill just to be able to show, because I started out showing in the county fairs, which are a great base for the people wanting to get into this industry.
Well, you just hit on a piece of history I'm not aware of. So where on Taylor Boulevard was the...
Torn down now and vacated, but it was around Arena, and it was the first place where the major show started.
Wow, wow. Many years ago, obviously, I guess. But, yeah, that's certainly fascinating. Ed, I guess I'm thinking about thoroughbreds, and I always ask, you know, I remember when I had Jack on the show and Clint, and I even talked to Dwayne Lucas last year. I said, well, you got for next year. Mm-hmm. You got something going. So you got any good two-year-olds?
We just had a nice win at Del Mar with a horse named like One Ring, as I recall. And he just did a wonderful job. He ran 5.5 furlongs in 103, and he won by 6. And he's a two-year-old. Wow. So that would be the one I would mention as another great
prospect. I always like
prospect.
To get a name to start thinking about early.
Well, start thinking about that. I'll double-check the exact name, but I'm pretty sure it was One Ring. The fact is, he just ran off from the other horses the first time out in a maiden special, and they had American Pharaoh colt in there. They had another colt in there that they had paid $300,000 for. So we were excited, and now that starts us on our trip to prepare for the next year's Derby.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are curious about or know about. I know the Starlight Racing Group. It's a little bit unique in racing, because there's a lot of what I would call regular folks in the group. How big is it?
We have about 8 partners in Starlight. It's a wonderful group. Everybody gets along. Jack and Donnie Lucarelli started it about 10 years. We got involved about 10 years ago. And we have a number of local individuals involved in it. And that's what makes it very special.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week, I guess I asked both of you, August 17th to 24th, you're not over there all the time, but I guess it consumes your time.
Well, I have a retail store, and we have a pop-up shop at the Crown Plaza. So that's another revenue that comes to Louisville, because there are different stores that set up space in these hotels and in Freedom Hall.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine. And Ed, you're no longer practicing law on a daily basis. Tell me about are you devoting most of your time to horses?
No, really. I do practice law all the time now. I'm chairman emeritus of Frost Brown Todd, so I go in every day and work with clients, special clients that I've developed over the years. I've been doing this for 50 years, so it's been a lot of fun, and I still enjoy it every day.
Yeah, I was thinking, I know I've crossed paths with you before, but I couldn't remember a single instance, but I'm sure we've talked on the phone in the past.
Sure we have, absolutely.
So anyway, I never know. You get caught up in some interesting stories, I know, with your clients. And anyway, we're really looking forward to the Saddlebred Show. And do you know the specifics of for the public, how much it costs to get in, or anything like that?
I think just a regular ticket would be probably about $10 or $12 for general admission, something like that, Rick.
And you can go
to the classes, the different ones. Mary F. may have.
The daytime shows are free.
Or daytime. Okay. At night, yes. It's like $10.
About $10 a ticket.
Yeah.
That's for the upper arena.
Okay.
The lower tickets are pretty much sold out.
And this, just total novice on this. If you go in, what are you going to say? This isn't like jumping over obstacles, right? This is horses that
are in performance. You are looking for the athletic ability of the horse and the attractiveness of the horse and how they carry themselves and how they do their gait.
Okay. And the riders
as well.
Tell
him about the different gated. I mean,
well, we have 3 gated, 5 gated, which means they do 3 distinctive gaits.
Okay.
And then we also have road horses and harness horses and ponies that also hackney and harness ponies, which you drive behind a buggy.
Okay.
And lots of times the women are very dressed up in formal gowns. And the show gets dressier as the week goes on at night.
Okay.
But the one thing you always need to do is bring a sweater or a jacket because it can be very cold in there.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. And the audience, I guess, there's cheering and
oh, sure. All that. You always cheer for your favorite.
I've got to go to one of these things and see what it's like. I know it's different than being at Churchill Downs, but...
And they have a lot of children, 13 and under, a lot of juniors participating, and that gets the whole family involved, and that also is very, very excited. And the young people like the saddlebreds because they're calm, friendly in most cases, and intelligent. And the American saddlebred is a horse that was bred in the U.S., and it's been referred to as a horse America made. And the saddlebred capital of the world, in my opinion, is Shelbyville and Simpsonville area. And, of course, the thoroughbred capital world, I think, is Lexington, Fayette County area. So from a horse standpoint, I think we've got it all covered, and it's the best place to be. Kentucky is the best place to be for saddlebreds or thoroughbreds.
All right. Well, thank you both for being on the show. This has been informative and entertaining for me.
Rick, thank you very much, and you've done a great job always with your shows. We appreciate it.
So I expect if you listen to that and you're into horses, you'll be going out to the American Saddlebred Championships. They got some great billboards around town, really trying to publicize the event a lot more than I think in years past. We'll see. It's been around for a long time. Hope you get a chance to go out there. I was talking about Butchertown earlier. I do have a shameless plug. I am trying to rent my condo in Cliffview Terrace. It is a wonderful location just down the street from Butchertown. You know, I mentioned Chicken and Me. It is right next door between there and Pat's Steakhouse. It's a wonderful space, and I've listed it on Zillow, and there's also a nice post about it on LouisvilleKY.com. So please call me, 502-439-6391, if you or anyone you know is looking for a great, great place to rent in the cool part of town, where all the cool kids are. Exactly. That's what the show is all about anyway. I've got to wrap up the show. This is the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I'm your host, Rick Redding. Best way to get in touch with me is probably through Facebook. I'm accepting some friend requests right now. And you can contact me there or call me. I've given you my phone number. And I'd love to talk to you about anything related to the show or real estate. It is a real joy to do this each and every week and share with you some of the things that are going on in Louisville, KY. I've talked to a lot of people in my car recently about things in Louisville, and you know, you do realize what a great city we live in when you get talking to outsiders, people that are just here. I talked to a guy this morning that just moved here to town from Nashville and was really excited about all the cool stuff that he was looking forward to doing socially in town. So anyway, I got a lot going on. I'm sure you do too. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to the Rusty Satellite Show. It's on each and every week. I've done this for 318 consecutive weeks without a break, if you can believe it, and I don't have a break plan. So we'll see how that goes, but it's likely that we'll be back with another great show next week. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.